What's good and welcome to the Pierce Flaps Show, episode 5.
Cinco.
And today we're coming at you with some beef.
It's real funky
out here.
It's real funky.
Everyone's getting it. And today we're talking about Nas versus Jay-Z.
Okay.
And Drake versus Meek Millie.
Okay.
Millie from Philly.
It's beefy. Those are beefy. Meek Millie from Philly. You know what I mean? And Hov and Nas. Okay.
Yes, sir. So...
let's start off.
Hop straight into it.
Hov and Nas.
Over.
Yeah, for real. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the biggest beefs in hip-hop history because these is one of the two top MCs at the time, you know what I'm saying, when they started beefing. It's two East Coast rappers, both from New York. And, you know, Nas coming from Queensbridge, New York. Hov coming from Brooklyn. Nas made his debut.
Marcy Projects.
Yep. Nas made his debut in 91, Hov in 89. Debut albums, Nas, Illmatic came in 94. Hov's debut album, Reasonable Doubt, came in 96.
All right.
And Hov's debut album is where the beef started.
All right. How'd that happen off the debut?
Off the debut album, you know what I'm saying? From the jump, it was funky.
Damn.
So Nas is supposed to appear on the album for that song, Bring It On. On Hov's album.
Okay.
But he never showed up to record the verse. That's where Hov had an issue with it. So instead they went ahead and sampled his line on Hov's song Dead President. They sampled Nas' line, I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they says, if the real one ain't gonna be here, we gonna use his voice regardless. Presidents to represent
me. And I think on that song too that, you know, when they had that first sample, Jay-Z had hit Nas to re-record it. He said, I want you to, you know, say the same things, but just redo it. Like, so it sounds cleaner for this record. Nas was like, nah.
Since they couldn't have the real thing, they said, all right, we'll just use the sample then.
Yeah.
Threw that on there. And then, so, you know what I'm saying? Nas, of course, took offense to that. He wasn't feeling it. He wasn't feeling that they used his voice on the album when he wasn't even trying to pull up and give his real voice.
Yeah.
So he dropped his second album, It Was Written. The intro to the album, The Message, Nas took a shot at Jay-Z with the line, Lex with TV sets the minimum. 20 G bets, I'm winning them. Threats, I'm sending them. Lex with TV sets the minimum. And that's because, you know, Jay-Z's love for Lexus is, he mentions it. He mentions the whip in the song Can I Live when he says, my mind is manifested with sick thoughts that circle like a Lexus. And he has a Lexus GS in his Dead Presidents 2 video. So, you know what I'm saying? Jay-Z's obviously love for Lexus and whatnot. Nas took a shot at that and said, you know what he had in his video, that Lexus with the TV screen? That's the minimum.
We doing it big over here. Yeah, we're gonna do it bigger.
You know what I'm saying? Nas was the came out with that big shit popping, little shit stopping.
Yeah. Feel it, definitely. Damn, yeah. Y'all just getting started. Yeah, get your hustle up, type thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the beginning. So Nas sold his Lexus, got rid of his Lexus, and all because he said he wanted the next best thing, and he gonna get it. You know what I mean? So it was he was doing everything to just get at Jay-Z and what he got going. So Jay-Z wasn't feeling Nas coming at him, you know what I'm saying, about his Lexus being the minimum, the Lexus with the TV sets and all that. So Jay-Z bounces back, responds with a Nas voice again, sampled his voice on that Rap Game, Crack Game.
Oh, shit.
In 1997. Then, in the same album, Jay-Z claims his throne as the king of New York, the top rapper of New York. This is after Biggie died in March 97. This is later in 97. Jay-Z drops The City Is Mine. The jigger, I ain't mad yet. Bite my
so half of what I sell because it's not quite my. Damn, yeah. Nas been out before him.
You know what I mean? So this, you got this dude coming out trying to take the city when Nas was really thought he was the next one in line. You feel me?
I think there's actually, you know, I mean, not to hop off subject or any shit like that, but I feel like when it comes to New York, like every new artist that come up, I'm the king of New York type thing, and then everyone jumps on them. Like it's like a thing out there is to be the king of New York, and everybody
take
wants
over.
It. And that's how a lot of these beefs actually start. Like, you know what I mean?
Hey, seriously though, like if you well, now that you say that, you think about it, everybody say they're the king of New York as they come out. You know what I'm saying? Even to the newest dude, R.I.P. Pop Smoke, he was even saying the same thing.
Yeah, all them want to be the king of New York.
Yeah. All right, getting back to the beef. In 1999, Memphis Bleek hopped in it with this song "Memphis Bleek Is," which is kind of a playoff of Nas Is.
Nas is like.
Nas is like. There you go. You got it. I knew. I was yep. The word.
Yup.
And then he hit the line with my whole team rock rocks and we don't speak to cats. I'm a ball till I fall. What you think of that? My whole team rock rocks. We don't speak to cats. I'm a ball till I fall. What you think of that? You know what I mean? And that was a diss to Nas. So Nas hit him back on his song Nostradamus. You want a ball till you fall? I can help you with that. You want beef? I could let a slug melt in your hat. You want a ball till you fall? I can help you with that. You want beef? I could let a slug melt in your hat. You know what I mean? And he even used a tilted hat like Memphis Bleek had in his album cover. The shots between them continue to go back and forward.
These fools going years without mentioning each other's names, but just sending shots. It's all subliminal.
Right? All subliminal. You know what I mean? For a minute. That's just the beginning, though.
I mean, I guess on some, you know, street shit, you know, they knew what it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. They
it wasn't much for the public, but you know I'm talking about you, and I know you're talking about me. It ain't, you know what I mean? But
exactly.
Yeah, I feel. Yeah. You know, okay.
Because they're both at the top of the game in the East Coast, so they knew who was fighting for the throne.
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of saying names, though, in 2001, Jay-Z in a freestyle takes a shot at Nas, and at the end, he says, "Ask Nas, he don't want no problem with Hov, no." You know what I mean? Just straight up said it. Ask Nas, like you don't want these issues.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when Nas instantly responded with that freestyle Stillmatic over the Paid in Full beat. Like I said, it's called Stillmatic. Some know it as H to the Omo. I count Dolph when you sample my voice, I rule you. Before you used to rap like the Boo Snickens, Nas designed your blueprint, who you kidding? Is he H to the Izzo, M to the Izzo? Pushes you phony to rap a version of Cisco. Which is obviously a playoff of Hov's song, H to the Izzo.
Yeah.
So, you know, they was going back and forth. That's when the names started coming out. They just is like, you know, I'm coming at your neck. I don't care who knows it. I don't care if you know it. I'm going to just let them. I'm coming for you.
Yeah. So when Jay-Z dropped that freestyle, I'm just going to guess that was like, you know, before he dropped the actual record of Takeover.
Yep. So Takeover comes after Nas's freestyle Stillmatic or the H to the Omo.
Okay.
However you remember it. But Jay-Z, yeah, he comes with Takeover. That's the track that Kanye produced. He had his first two verses of that song were at Mobb Deep. Then he saved the last 32 bars for Nas.
Yeah.
So.
And then he saved the last half a bar for everyone
else. For everyone else, yeah.
Y'all get half a bar.
Yeah, he said, y'all get half a bar, though. Like, damn. Yeah. Just let y'all know, I ain't forget about y'all, but y'all not that important, bro.
Nah, yeah. But that Takeover song, though, man. You gotta talk about that shit.
Yeah.
That was one right there that definitely, you know, the shots at Mobb Deep was crazy.
Yep. He called Homeboy a ballerina.
Yep. You little fuck, I got money stacks bigger than you.
Man.
Yeah, that's this it. Shit. And then. You was a ballerina. I got the pictures. I seen you.
Calling people, yeah. Pulling cards left and right. You know what I'm saying? And Nas's freestyle, he talked about how. He counts money. He counts off when Jay-Z samples his voice. So pretty much he's like, you sample my voice, I'm getting paid off it.
Yeah.
Hov responds to that and just said, yeah, I sampled your voice. You was using it wrong. You made it a hot line. I made it a hot song. You know what I mean? And then he also continues to tell him, like, I wasn't paying you. I was paying your publishing.
Yeah.
But pretty sure Nas gets money off that publishing, though, as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure Nas is getting.
Yeah, he's getting a check off the samples for sure.
That Takeover song though, for Jay-Z being on his rise, you know, that was and Nas at that point.
To come for Nas like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, heart. He was up there, but he wasn't, you know, as big as he probably was at one point.
Yeah. Yep.
But, nah, yeah, that, and then going at Mobb Deep. Yeah, that shit was crazy. Yeah.
Names.
I still be slapping that song. I ain't gonna lie.
And like you were saying, like, names too, like, not caring, just coming at him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, claiming Nas, you know what I'm saying? He's not from the streets, and he's not what he claims to be. And he's talking about how on that same song, Takeover, how Nas said he had a Tech N9ne on his dresser, but Jay-Z says that he was the first one to show Nas a Tech N9ne with the tour with DJ Professor, I think it was.
Large Professor.
Large Professor. Okay, yeah, and Large Professor supposedly came out and confirmed that. Yeah, that was the first time Nas seen a Tech N9ne was with Jay-Z at that tour.
Dang, he said confirmed that shit.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? So, he's choosing sides, you feel me? And so, shortly after Takeover comes out in 2001, later that year, Nas drops Ether.
Yeah, and then at this point, everyone's like, Nas ain't coming with shit. Jay-Z just fucking embodied him.
Yeah. And then he drops Ether.
And he drops fucking Ether.
This is probably one of the hardest diss songs ever.
Nah, yeah, definitely.
Like, to the point where, like, this became a verb. Like, bro, you got Ethered.
Yeah, this shit ain't even, like, I wouldn't even say it's, like, top five. This is the top three for sure, and everybody.
Top
like,
three, you know, yeah, it's up fucking, there, yeah.
It's like, Tupac hit him up, Nas Ether. Like, them two, the fucking top two all diss songs.
Yeah, and there could be an argument for either one of them being number one. But
yeah. And then, you know, Nas actually recorded three different versions of Ether.
Oh, did he?
Did you know that shit?
Nah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so the first one.
What were the three versions about?
So the first one that he recorded was actually produced by Swizz Beatz.
Okay.
Damn, I guess it was a little bit faster.
A minute. Damn.
Yeah, damn near 2 minutes. Fuck, this nigga been here for a minute.
He's on his second minute right now.
He's on his second minute right now.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, so his first one was produced by Swizz Beatz, and I guess it was a little bit faster. And, you know, he played it for a couple people, and they're like, you know, it's not coming hard enough.
Yeah, okay.
And so he said, all right, fuck it. Record this shit over.
Yeah.
Second version of Ether. Fucking too hard. They said that shit was too graphic. He's going a little bit too hard at them. Got to tone it down a little bit.
Damn.
And there's even one bar that they still talk about, like, you know.
He was probably talking about killing people.
Nas is even like, kind of, yeah. So there was one line that he took out, and he says, you know, I'm glad I took that out. You know, but it was something like, you know, Aaliyah, I love you. Sorry you died in that plane crash. Should have been Jay-Z and Dame Dash.
Damn.
Something along them lines right there. Yeah, he dropped that and then was like, God. Shit like that. But, you know, there was other bars. But I guess it was too much. And so he said, I toned it down a little bit for the Ether. And if you could imagine toning something down, that shit being Ether.
Yeah, that's
that
crazy.
Shit must have been fucking awesome. I want to hear that shit. I got to hear that.
I want to hear the second version. The second version, man. He's
yeah,
saying
that shit.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, there was three versions of Ether though, but the third one was the classic.
Yeah, the third one is the one that did it. Damn near ended the feud. You know what I'm saying? And then he also dropped "Got Yourself a Gun," "Destroy and Rebuild," "You're the Man," all in his 2001 Stillmatic. With little disses here and there at Jay-Z, and then Jay-Z and Richard at this point they're not really making tracks anymore about each other. They're just kind of mentioning each other on songs and verses here and there. And then it started to die down after Nas mentions Jay-Z and the Last Real Nigga Alive. But when he did and mentioned him in that song, like he talked about the East Coast rap beef or all the rap beef, and then just kind of made it seem like Jay-Z's like a very small pawn in the rap game, you know what I mean? And he just talked about Biggie, Wu-Tang Clan, and Diddy as far as East Coast rappers and whatnot, and didn't really mention Jay-Z, and that was kind of a diss at him. But in 2005, they squashed their beef. Hove had the I Declare War tour, which is where he actually called for peace.
Okay.
And he invited
I think there's a part that we're missing here.
What's that?
I got to rewind it a little bit because I think there's a part we're missing right here.
What's that?
A big key in this beef right here.
What's that? Talk to him.
And so, you know, back when they was still subliminally dissing each other, Nas's girlfriend at the time had met Jay-Z.
Oh, shit.
Right?
That's...
And
said, you know,
then Nas and his girlfriend got in a little argument.
God damn.
And she was like, I just met Jay-Z. Let me hit him up.
Oh, god damn. She crossed the line.
And, you know, she hit up Jay-Z.
No.
Jay-Z did what Jay-Z gonna do.
Man, I mean, god damn.
And on top of that, he ain't just, you know, he got her pregnant.
No.
She already got a baby by Nas. This is baby mama, girlfriend, baby mama.
This is BM and Jay-Z out here impregnating her.
Jay-Z got her pregnant, but she had a miscarriage before. In her first trimester, she had a miscarriage. And she said she didn't even tell Jay-Z about it until after the miscarriage, so he didn't really know. She's like, it's not like we planned a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, this happened. So.
Hey, that's crazy.
You know, yeah. So in the Takeover song, you know, he has that line. You know, he goes, you know, it's fucking a tongue twister, so I'm gonna do my best. But that shit's something along the lines of, and you know what, and you know who, but we'll keep that between me and you.
Yep.
You know, something along those lines. So then after Nas dropped Ether, and then Jay-Z came back with a song called Super Ugly.
Oh, okay.
And in that Super Ugly song, you know, he's first it's over the Got Yourself a Gun beat, and he's saying, I got myself a gun.
Okay.
You know, shit like that.
Is that like a freestyle?
Yeah, it's like a freestyle. It ain't like, you could tell it's like a mixtape quality, everything, but
okay.
Woke up this morning. Uh-oh. You got yourself.
I got myself a gun. Uh-oh. Yeah. I got myself a gun.
Yeah, he basically going at Nas, and then the beat switches over to the Dr. Dre Bad Intentions song, to that beat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he starts going in about his baby mama. He's talking about...
Oh, so he spilled the beans.
Yeah, yeah. He let it out at that point.
Shoot.
He was like, shit, like fuck, I skeeted in the back of your Jeep.
No.
I left condoms on your baby seat.
No.
I came in your belly back seat, skeeted in your Jeep, left condoms on your baby seat.
Not the baby seat, not the car seat, man.
All right, that's a major line right there.
It kind of makes you think, because it's like, why didn't she take the car seats out? That's kind of her fault, too. Like, come on, bro.
Why couldn't you take the car seat out?
Yeah, like he got to be mad at her, too. Like, you couldn't take the car seats out? Come on.
And then in Nas's Ether, you know, he was throwing a lot of shots at Jay-Z, like, you know, a lot of homo lines, being gay, the H to the homo, all that shit.
Yep.
And in Jay-Z's Super Ugly song, he said, you know, and since you all over all that homo shit, I guess you was sucking my dick when you was kissing that bitch.
And since you infatuated with saying that gay shit, guess you was kissing my dick when you was kissing that bitch.
No, no. Why he? Come on. So then that explains why the beef started dying down.
So after Jay-Z dropped that shit,
how do you respond to that?
A call from his mother, his mom.
No.
And she was talking about that left condoms on the baby seat. Like, you know what? You went a little too far.
You
like,
went that, too that far. Shit. Come on.
And he was like, you know what? My mom never calls me about the music. She called me.
Damn. So she.
So he apologized.
Oh, he apologized for it?
Yeah, so that's when Jay-Z goes to, I think it was Hot 97.
Okay.
And he apologizes to Nas for that line about, you know, left the condoms on the baby seat. And he, you know, he says, you know, it's basically he's going dead all this shit just because, you know.
Yeah.
He got a call from his mom. And he going to respect his mom, you know, to end this shit. So he going to try to end it.
I mean, when moms call, you gotta, you know you messing up.
Yeah, you done fucked up. You get that call.
You get that call. You know, so you gotta fix something.
So Nas, then he goes on the radio station about a week later.
Okay.
And he's like, "See, I told y'all." No. Because in the Ether song, there's a line where he says, "You pop shit and apologize."
You pop shit, apologize, nigga. Just ask Kiss.
No.
And so he goes, "See, I told y'all. That's what I told y'all. He gonna pop shit and apologize." But then he's like, "But you know what?" He's like, I'm gonna go ahead and respect it because, you know, he's respecting his mom's wishes and I can respect that. And so, you know, that kind of helped dead the whole situation a little bit.
How you disrespect it and say you're gonna respect it?
Yeah. He's gonna apologize, but I'll respect it because his mother told him to apologize.
I told y'all he ain't really about it, but I'll respect it though. Yeah. What?
But I respect it.
Come on, man. So that was a crazy beef right there, up and down the roller coaster. It kind of started off a little slow, and then, you know what I mean, the jabs started turning into haymakers.
Nah, yeah, definitely, like I said, with that Ether, like, fuck, like, that shit, at a point where no one was thinking Nas gonna come back with that shit, and this is a song that, you know, I didn't really look too much into it before doing this, but I think I remember from a while back that I think Jay-Z fucking cried after hearing this shit. Like, no. You know, a radio station crying or some shit. Like, yeah, it's a bad day for Rockefeller, you know? All that shit. So, fuck, you know? That shit.
Bro, don't cry. God.
Over.
Hey, for encore.
Yeah, so that shit, it was crazy, the whole situation. But they ain't never really, I don't think they ever got into it. Like, you know, they never really met up. Jay-Z did say in one of his lines that he went to a studio and Nas was at the studio. And he says when him and the Rockefeller walked in, Nas snuck out the back door. And he's like, "Man, we wasn't even trying to press you. We had a recording session." Like,
damn. You know? Yeah, that's but, crazy.
Yeah, so that's the only time. I think that's the closest they might have gotten during that situation, because I don't think they ever, you know, threw hands or got into any type of violent situation or nothing.
Or maybe they did. It's just not like nowadays where social media captures everything. You know what I mean? And it's just some shit that happened behind closed door on some real G shit, and then that was that. Left it at that. Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been, but damn, you know, they be throwing, back then, before you could prove shit, they was throwing stories around, and I ain't heard no stories, you know, that people would be like, "Yeah, I fucked them up," you know?
And but then you hear other dudes confirming it.
Yeah,
that's it. But they produce songs though since they've squashed the beef. So
yeah.
Success, yeah, they got a few out. I did it for hip hop and that BBC off of Hov's album. Mm-hmm. So they produced
Black Republican song too.
Yeah, it produced some slaps. So that's cool. That's cool that the beef ended all right instead of like other beefs that ended in the rap history. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they definitely, you know, Nas. You know, Jay-Z, obviously, I love the music, all that. But lyrically, Nas, that is a different level right there. Everything he says is damn near a story. Like, if you could tell a story with every one of your lines, like all your songs is telling a story, that's skill right there. Like, not a lot of artists can do that. Definitely not a lot of artists doing that today. You know, a lot of artists do come with bars. He got a couple bars, but he's telling stories. Like, a real storyteller.
Don't be gassing, though. I don't know. He'll be telling stories though and talking that shit. You know what I mean? I don't know. Hope is cool. Hope is cool to me.
Blueprint, one of my favorite albums. You know, it's in there in my top five.
Yeah.
You know, as we mentioned, you know, a few episodes back, I'm a little more old school. So the older Jay-Z shit, you know, that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
But you know, I still be slapping a lot of Jay-Z. Some new shit, a lot of old shit.
Mostly old shit. Honestly, I don't really slap his new shit. It's mostly the old shit. But he had the gas though. I mean, he was coming with it.
Oh, it's bars. Yeah, it's definitely bars. Yeah.
So
yeah, like I said, a lot of people counted him out and just say Nas straight won that whole beef. But when we just talked about that fucking shit that, you know, was behind the closed doors you know, behind the closed car doors, we could say that
it's crazy behind the car door.
Yeah. Jay-Z, you know, he played his part in that beef.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. You know, it ain't like he just sat there and did nothing. Everyone just says Nas, Ether killed the whole shit. But, you know, Jay-Z held his own a little bit, you know.
Yeah, for
them
sure.
Them songs wasn't whack.
It's crazy how, like, some rap beats, they get judged off of which rapper is still in the game or which rapper did the most, made the most money and whatnot, you know what I mean? But this one's like, damn, not Nas, even though he's not in the game, Jay-Z clearly made more money and has more money. It's like, this dude Nas still killed him with that song as far as hip-hop.
Yeah, don't do my boy Nas like that and say not in the game. He's still dropping some shit now and then.
I'm going to do your boy Nas like that, and he not in the game like that, son. I ain't even going for it. I mean, everybody's dropping something, but you know when you say in the game.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you meant like he up and retired, this fool, you know.
And he ain't retired.
Sitting on his porch with the cane, drinking a 40 and shit.
And he ain't retired.
Chilling with his little dog or something. Man. My bro Nas up the game, but he dropped the Ether song fucking 20 years ago. That was
40
cool.
years ago. Hey, that's crazy to think that was almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago.
Yeah, that how old that shit is?
Yeah, 2001. That's crazy. That's crazy. 2001 is even 19 years ago. That's just, man. That's wild.
Damn.
But yeah, so like I said, I mean, I don't know. That one's, it's tough to call. As far as the lyrics and whatnot, I guess Nas did. Or the songs, the actual disses, Nas did win that one with Ether alone. But then, you know what I'm saying, with that final kill, I don't know. Cause, yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough because what happened behind the closed car doors.
I'm giving it to Nas. I mean, Ether, I fucking, that shit, as soon as it comes on, just brrr, fuck Jay-Z.
Fuck Jay-Z. What's up, niggas? And yo, I know you ain't talking about me, dog. You? What? Fuck Jay-Z. You been on my dick, nigga. You love my style, nigga.
Like, man, that shit hard off the fucking, you know.
The Tupac.
God damn. Yeah. That sample Tupac. A lot of people don't
know
that
Tupac
shit.
Yeah, that's a Tupac sample. Fuck Jay-Z. Chopped and screwed
Tupac. That's
Tupac. I understand this. Ain't no nigga like me. Fuck Jay-Z.
Yeah, so.
Nah, I feel it.
Yeah, Nas, I'm going to say Nas won that shit, you know, in my opinion.
Nah, I feel it. I think I'm going to have to say Hov just off of that last diss that
nah,
I
Nah, fuck that. Nas that you just won
put,
that shit.
That you just put me up on game about. I got to say Hov. Before all this, I might have said Nas with Ether, but that behind closed car door stuff, man.
I convinced you.
You convinced me for sure, because that's.
Damn, I just convinced you to join the ops.
Yeah, the ops. That's, I don't know how often that happens, but you did it. And yeah, Hov killed him with
nah,
that.
Nah, yeah, I'm gonna go with, like just, I said, I'm gonna go with Nas Ether, but I think a lot of people just say Jay-Z didn't come back with shit, and he definitely came back with some shit. So
exactly. But don't get me wrong.
You know, it was closer than a lot of people say.
Yeah, Nas Ether, that's one of the top songs for sure still, though. As far as tracks. Yeah, so.
Yep, so, you know, they grew up from that. They got their money and shit. You know, they're still cool to this day.
Yeah.
To this day.
Those are vets now.
And, you know, nowadays, a lot of these new rappers are beefing a little bit. You know, it ain't like it used to be.
They beef,
you know,
a little differently.
They getting
they
into it.
A little differently.
Yeah, might be beefing on social media a little bit.
Yeah, social media, they beef
for
different
reasons. Can we talk about that?
Let's talk about
why. Can we talk about that?
So, you know what I'm saying? You got Drizzy Drake. Drizzy, don't write my own music, Drake.
Verse. Miller.
Meek, Twitter Fingers Mill.
Meek Millie from Philly.
Meek Millie from Philly. So this beef all started signs because this dude Meek gonna get salty.
What Meek do?
He gonna get salty and take to Twitter, pull his Twitter fingers out,
and
tweet trying to bust Drake out about not writing his own music, all because Drake didn't promote his album Dreams Worth More Than Money in 2015.
What the fuck, Drake? Why did you tweet the goddamn album, Drake?
You can't support him?
You saw Meek drop the album? Tweet that shit, Drake.
Tweet it. Retweet it. Something. Something. Right. But you know what else, though? Meek also came at Wale because Wale didn't promote the album either, and they're label mates on MMG.
Fucking Wale, come on.
Hey, is it the guys not promoting or is it the album? I just want to know.
Come on, Wale. Tweet the fucking album, man.
Tweet the album, bro. So then that's when Meek tweeted, stop comparing me to Drake. He don't write his own raps. And boom, beef began.
Beef has commenced. So what happened next?
All right, so the next day after Meek tweeted about Drake's having a ghostwriter and whatnot, that he doesn't write his own raps, so stop comparing him to Meek.
Okay.
The next day, Funk Flex... there's no confirmation of where it came from. Allegedly, it's from the OVO camp, but he had the reference track for Drake's 10 bands. The reference track is sung by Quentin Miller.
10 bands, 50 bands, 100 bands, fuck it, man. Trying to run through the budget, man, on G.
Who is the person that's supposedly writing Drake's raps that Meek Mill's referring to in his tweet?
Okay. So Meek Mill ain't just bullshitting. He's speaking some facts over here.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Well, supposedly.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know. It's all allegedly, I guess you could say, but...
But at this point, Drake has... It's been a day, you said, and Drake hasn't said shit on Twitter. He's just ignoring this as of this moment.
Correct. So the next day from the tweet as well, the same day that Funk Flex put out that reference track, Meek went on stage on the Pink Print tour. His girls tour.
On the Pink Print tour.
The Pink Print tour, you know what I'm saying? He got to keep it G. Keep it hood. Meek Millie from Philly, your boy.
Meek's on the pink stage. What's he saying?
My dude, he's giving a shout-out to Drake, whom he just dissed in a tweet. Giving a shout-out to him and just saying, let Drake be great in any motherfucking lane he is great in. And then he apologizes to Nicki for the tweets because, you know, Nicki and Drake, they're label mates, and they're damn near like... I thought Nicki and Drake were together, to be honest. They might have been throughout the whole time, but
they might got a history. Yeah, I know.
They might got a history. Some.
And so okay, so you know, I like to keep up, you know, so let me just reiterate real quick. So Meek done tweeted basically, you know, on some fuck Drake shit, and then takes the next day to, I guess, respond to himself, like, hey, let Drake be great.
Yeah, he responded for Drake. Yeah,
he responded to himself. All right, so that pretty sounds much. Cool. You know, hey, fuck Drake. Let him be great, though, the next day. All right, what next?
Mr. 40 chimes in. I'm just talking about Quentin Miller. He contributed to the album, but, you know, don't hate on Drake's pen. His pen is still the key to the hits.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about how you can see the credits and whatnot on the albums and what, and you know what I'm saying, all that stuff. And then he says, you're smoking the stuff you say you're selling if you think someone else wrote that shit.
Damn.
And then after that, Drake.
Was that on Drake Twitter? Or where's Drake saying this at?
That was on Twitter. Yeah. 40 tweeted that.
Okay.
40 tweeted that.
So Drake hasn't, Drake himself still.
Drake still ain't responded.
Still hasn't said shit.
Until now, when he responds with his first haymaker charged up.
Oh, shit.
Charged up.
All right.
You know what I mean? And then. That was a little slower diss track, you know, not your typical one, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, it's Drake, you feel me? I mean,
yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah, I remember it hit the streets, you know, and everyone's like, just thinking like, damn, Drake actually responded. It was more of a, oh shit, he responded, more than like, oh shit, this shit's hot as fuck.
Yep, exactly. All right. Exactly.
All right, so he dropped Charged
and,
Up.
Charged Up, and of course, you know what Meek did. Guess what Meek did?
Hot damn, let me see. He hit the studio. Nah, he hit the studio.
That's what he hit the pink stage.
Nah, that's probably what he would have did
if there was a show that night.
Shit. Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and tell me that.
My dude went back to Twitter.
Oh, shit.
Meek, Twitter fingers mill.
Hot.
So he just tweeted he said, I heard it. That song is Baby Lotion Soft.
Baby Lotion Soft. All right.
Yeah, and then so then they're in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn stop of his tour, and then he hops on stage and says he heard it, and then he kind of he talks about the Biggie and Pac beef and a freestyle sort of song on the tour, and he just kind of says how, you know, you see how that beef ended, they had to die to be the greatest, so if you're trying to be the greatest, you better be willing to do whatever type shit, like, trying to act like it's going to blow up into one of those kind of beefs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, fuck, you know, beefing with Drake, you better be on your fucking toes, man.
Yeah, you know, you got to keep your head on the swivel with that guy. You know what I mean?
Hell, that's definitely
so.
Who was Drake? Was he the Tupac of the situation, or was he the Biggie of the situation?
Shit, he was the driver.
All right, just get wise. So what, Meek? He hit the stage. He talked about the situation. Right, what happened next?
So then after that, Flex claimed to have a response from Meek, a whole song for Drake's Charged Up. Claimed to have it on July 27th, but the response never came about, never came out, never happened. Meek even tweeted it like, here it is, but didn't really tweet anything. He just said, here it is, and nothing was there. So the song never came about.
He forgot how to use Twitter all of a sudden.
You know, that works. Yeah, right. Exactly. Forgot to how to attach something. Or, yeah, I don't know. So then Drake wasn't even trying to wait and drop back to back. And then that's when he mentions, you know, his infamous line. Is that a world tour or your girl's tour?
You love her, then you got to get a world tour. Is that a world tour or your girl's tour?
Twitter fingers turn to trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers.
Yep, you're getting bodied by a singing nigga.
Trigger fingers turn to Twitter fingers. Yeah, you getting bodied by a singing nigga. I'm not the type of nigga that a type of niggas. And shout out to all my boss, bitches, wife, and niggas.
You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, he had some bars.
I don't want to ever hear about this again. Not even when she tell him that they better as friends. Like, bruh. He just gassing them, right? The hit.
This ain't what she meant when she said you should open up more.
I know that you gotta be a thug for her. This ain't what she meant when she told you to open up more.
Yeah.
Open up on her tour. God damn. For those that went over your head, he's opening on her tour.
On the tour. This is not what she meant, bro.
Yeah, fuck.
Come on. That's crazy. But so then Meek then responded with a real song. Not no made up shit. He responded with that "Wanna Know," which is a funk flex freestyle.
I just wanna know if you ain't read that running through the six shit. Tell us who the folks quit running through the six with.
And funk flex seemed to be like on Meek's side this whole time. Like he was like playing the reference tracks and shit on the station, and then he supposedly had four more Drake reference tracks, and he was posting them to his SoundCloud. They've since been deleted, obviously. You know,
Drake's well, I think at that point, you know, Funk Flex, he's more of the street dude. You know what I mean? Drake's not the type of artist that you're going to see Funk Flex playing a lot. So, that's more of a Meek Mill type of dude. So, yeah, I could see Funk Flex definitely taking Meek Mill's side since he's more of the streets. Drake ain't the streets.
That's true. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. Especially the Ghost Rider shit, he probably wasn't feeling that. He seems like he's a real hip-hop head.
Yeah, definitely. He says some dumb shit he's a hip-hop head.
Yeah, he does be saying some dumb shit, but I guess it is what it is. Comes with the territory.
Yeah.
So then after the Wanna Know, you know, Drake and Future released their What a Time to Be Alive with a few songs on there where Drake has a couple lines dissing Meek. And then Meek releases his 4x4 EP. That I'm the plug freestyle, which is kind of like a response to Drake's the plug. So after those little disses back and forward, they're cool now. You know what I mean? Like all like the other beef, like Jay-Z and Nas, they squashed their beef. And Meek apologized. Drake apologized. Drake brought Meek out on stage in 2018 to perform Dreams and Nightmares. Settled on stage. You know what I'm saying? It seems like this is the hip-hop happily ever after, the hip-hopily ever after. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely a good thing they squashed that, because that could have, you know, easily turned into some Biggie Tupac shit right there.
Violent. Could have went violent real quick.
Yeah.
You never know. So, yeah. So, that beef. That one, I don't know. There's nothing like the Jay-Z and Nas where they was really sending lyrical haymakers. This one, just a couple songs. But,
yeah, I think,
definitely,
you know,
said some things.
If Nas and Jay-Z, you know, and they had run into each other at some point, I think, you know, there would have been some altercations, whereas Drake and Meek Mill, you know, that one might have been more of a conversation type
over altercations.
Yes, sir. No. You know, I think maybe Drake and Chris Brown was a little more into it than them.
Hey, throwing bottles in the club and stuff.
Damn. Yeah, but we ain't gonna get into that shit right now.
Nah, we're not gonna talk about that. But didn't Chris Brown have like a busted chin?
Was that
him that posted that?
Yeah, that's crazy. He busted his shit open.
That's crazy.
That's Rihanna. You know what I mean?
So yeah, so that'll do it to you. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for episode 5 of the Pure Slap Show.
Cinco.
Our beefy episode, no burger.
Al Pure Slap.
It got real beefy in here. Yep. Go ahead and give us a follow on IG at the Pure Slap Show. You can find this episode on any podcast. If there's an app that you have that has a podcast on it, you can find us on there. Right. Just search the Pure Slap Show. We'll be there.
Click that.
Pop up right in front of your face. No excuses. Subscribe. Let us know what you think. All that. Like I said, give us a follow on IG, The Pure Slap Show. Follow myself, Slap Show Goer, and my co-host.
At Slap Show Signs. Hit that follow button.
Tap in. Yee. And we out. Nyeom.